Gentlemen, start your engine!
And Senna sprints away, but Alain Prost takes the lead. It's happened. Alain Prost has taken the advantage. Senna is trying to go through on the inside, and it's happened immediately. This is amazing. Senna goes off at the first corner. But what has happened to Prost? He has gone off too. Well, that is amazing, but I fear absolutely predictable.
Joseph Newgarden had to wait 12 turns for winning, and now he's going to do it back to back. Joseph Newgarden is a two-time Indy 500 winner. Oh my goodness! Red Bull will be delighted. They have shared a brilliant championship battle, but the championship can only be won by one, and it's going Dutch in 2021. Max Verstappen, for the first time ever, is champion of the world.
Join the starting grid for all the biggest stories in Formula One, NASCAR, IndyCar, and all around the world of motorsports. This is Beyond the Visor on WFUV Sports. Welcome in to Beyond the Visor, WFUV's best if only, I'll bring it straight from 5-on-3, best if only motorsports podcast where we cover pretty much anything and everything that we can from around the world of motorsport. We're back with Beyond the Visor. This podcast hasn't been around at WFUV for some time, but
We're back.
We figured it is finally time to bring this one back. We're two races into the Formula One season. We're going to be talking pretty much entirely Formula One today. Maybe we'll break into IndyCar. I know Bobby C loves his IndyCar, so we'll definitely be talking about IndyCar at some point during the 2026 season. Maybe even throw a little bit of NASCAR in there. I've got a soft spot for NASCAR personally,
okay.
So I definitely will want to talk about it at some point. But today we'll be doing Formula One. I am Tucker Austin, joined by Vanessa Kosuda and Mary Hannah Gallagher. What a crew for the first show on Beyond the Visor.
Oh, yeah,
I can't believe it's back. I heard about this podcast when I first started here at WFUV, but there seemed to be no chance for there to be any kind of a revival of this pod. But now we finally have the heads
On the interest form, I've been clicking Beyond the Visor.
So have I. And every time I see Joe Henry, I'm like, yo, dude, when are we going to get this going? I've been asking, like, all year. We should have done one for last.
We really should have had one, like, before the start of the F1 season.
Yeah,
If we got one before Australia, that would have been good. But we've had all kinds of conflict. We had the Super Bowl. We had people out in
Super
San Francisco.
Yeah.
Spring break. Everybody was home. We would have had to do it on Zoom. I wanted to wait until we were back inside the Rose Hill studio.
Inaugural. Get it back on home turf.
Totally not a convenient workaround.
No.
Many delays.
But everyone loves a home opener.
That's true.
Who doesn't love a home opener?
Exactly.
And I'm so happy to be a part of it, guys.
Oscar Piastri doesn't like home openers,
apparently. Guys.
And we can start right there. Australian Grand Prix.
I feel so bad for him. I feel so bad. But it's just like, you know, a lot of people weren't thrilled about, you know, DRS leaving and, you know, this new system with the power unit and all that stuff. I wasn't sure either. I kind of like it because it is shaking up Formula One right now.
I think it's insane.
Yeah.
It's really awesome. Like, I definitely agree that, like, there were people who were on the fence about whether or not, like, DRS going away would actually help. But, I mean, the cars did get markedly smaller for the 2026 season now with the new regulations. Cars are much smaller. It's much easier to get by. Like, there's more room on the track just by nature of the cars being smaller.
Yeah.
But, man, that new engine configuration really gives them some juice. I mean, this wasn't at Australia. The second race of the year was the Chinese Grand Prix, and at China, both the Ferraris were jockeying back and forth for like 30 laps.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just going at it. And there was no end in sight either. Like, during the DRS era, you'd have a battle for like three or four laps where everybody's using their battery and you're ripping the DRS. You maybe switch places like two or three times, and then someone starts to pull away because they use their battery better.
Yeah.
Tires start to wear away, whatever it is. I feel like the battles lasted much shorter during the DRS era, whereas now you could have a full race where if the field is bunched up, everybody is switching spots basically the entire time.
Yeah, so listen to this stat. So this was after the Australian Grand Prix, and I'm really glad that, like, I don't remember the exact numbers, but they did a comparison of overtakes from last year's Australian Grand Prix to this year. Australia of 2025 was around 45 overtakes. Australia this year was 120.
That wow. is unreal.
That's crazy.
That is a little more than doubled. I was floored
and
when I
last
saw
year,
that.
Last year, the track was different. Last year was the first year of the changes to the Albert Park circuit with the... like specifically that part in sector 2 where that used to be like a much slower turn. Now it's just like a full speed sweep through, but still, like, usually that would mean like fewer overtakes. We got a lot more fast racing, but there is just more overtaking everywhere in general. I cannot wait for Monaco.
Dude, it's
Monaco
awesome.
Is like one of my favorite tracks.
Yeah.
I catch so much flack for it being one of my favorites because of how, like, boring everyone says the race is every year. Because, yeah, it's cool, there's cars going fast in Monaco, but, like, nobody passes each other. If you get pole, you win, unless there's a safety car or you crash out. Like, and I could get how that would be a little bit frustrating, but I also think, like, I always thought of it more as, like, a better gauge of a driver's individual talent, but, like, just taken on the track. Like, how do you min-max a track where you cannot make even the slightest error, and that, like, outside of trying to battle another driver. But I feel like these smaller cars are going to make it a lot easier to pass.
No, I totally I hope
Monaco. So.
As soon as I saw those smaller cars, that's automatically what I thought of. I thought smaller tracks are going to become so much more fun, and kind of what you're talking about with the Monaco, just like the environment. And I know that maybe it's not as fun to be boots on the ground in Monaco, but to watch it on your screen and to see the beautiful scenery of Monaco,
it's novel.
Yeah,
it's a spectacle for
and
sure.
With Ferrari on the come up, Charles Leclerc back at Monaco this year, smaller car.
I hope so.
That could be big. That could be big.
Charles Leclerc. This power unit is like a mushroom in Mario Kart. I love that.
I mean,
that.
If the Ferraris...
I need that to be a poster in my room.
If the Ferraris have a mushroom, the Mercedes have a golden mushroom.
So true.
For sure.
Wait, so
as
true.
As a Mercedes fan,
mushroom.
I've
they
never
are
been
a
so happy.
No, they have... No, they have the bullet.
Yeah.
They got the bullet.
100%. Total Wolf just put George Russell in a bullet bill.
Yeah.
And Kimmy. Just sends him out every race.
No, but just like...
Kimmy has looked really good, too. Was he the youngest pole sitter?
Yes.
Youngest pole sitter ever.
That was at China, right? Yeah.
I did not get to watch it live because I was in Georgetown going to see my brother play, and I didn't
want tough to watch that race live. Didn't it start at, like,
3 a.m.?
Yeah.
And I was...
No one blames you.
3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
I was going to be crazy enough to take a nap and then watch it, but I fell asleep, and the two... big headlines that I woke up to: Kimi Antonelli wins the Grand Prix, and Japan is out of the WBC.
Yeah.
simultaneous. It was Japan's being eliminated and then Kimi winning. And I was like, I just woke up staring at my phone, and my dad's like, yo, like, we gotta go. Like, we gotta go get breakfast and then go to your brother's game. I'm like, can you give me a minute to, like, process the information I just took in?
China was actually, I feel like China was a little bit easier maybe to watch. Wasn't that race at, like, 1 a.m.?
I think it was 3.
No, because Australia, I think, was 3. Unless I'm getting those crossed up.
No, Australia was at, like, 11 p.m.
actually. Oh, you're right. It was 11 p.m. Saturday.
Yeah. I was
able,
which
so that's what it was.
Crazy just how time zones
were.
Yeah,
no, China was 3 a.m., and that's just, like...
No, I stayed up because also it was spring break, so I was super happy. I stayed up for the entire Australian Grand Prix. I don't think I looked. I maybe looked away at my TV for two. I looked away at my TV for 2 seconds, and it was. It started off as Charles Leclerc in first, and then I look at my phone just to go look down at Instagram. Then it's George Russell, and then Charles Leclerc again, and then George Russell.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't look away. I'm like, I really cannot look away. Like, this is crazy.
It's almost like a shock to the system, because like I've been following F1 like I wouldn't say necessarily religiously, mm-hmm. but I've definitely been like way more aware of it now, and I've been watching F1 pretty consistently since like 2020 when it was the first sport that came back after COVID, and I feel like at least my fan experience has been I got really used to a car getting out to the lead, building like 6 or 7 seconds ahead, and then
just staying there,
not looking back, and the number never moves, and then you could like take like a 30-40 minute nap for like 25 to 30 laps and wake up and have the exact same time like one that, through three, and then just watch the podium at the end.
You want to know what's so funny? That happened to me with Singapore last season. I woke up at like 8 a.m whatever time it started. I watched it and I fell asleep. And, like, George Russell was in first, and I'm like, he's 10 seconds ahead. I don't really care about anything else. Like, I'm going to fall asleep. And I'm like, I hope I don't miss anything, but, like, I'm, like, I just pass out. I wake up, and George is on the podium. I'm like, all right, well, good thing I didn't miss anything. Like,
yeah. I do think that also just mechanisms like this, where the drivers are now able to just keep fighting against each other, is going to kind of bring back people really loving this sport. I think that maybe people have gotten complacent recently when it comes to watching the beginning but not staying for the whole thing and kind of losing that passion. But this is the competitiveness of the sport that I think it needs.
Has been lacking.
Yes, to bring it really into the forefront of...
There's more reason to watch laps like 11 through 40.
Yeah,
because it's not just going to be like the pit
Max
window.
Verstappen
a couple of people
ahead.
Switch up. Maybe there's like an undercut.
Maybe a safety car.
Exactly. But like, I mean, safety cars are what you like really kind of want to wait for.
Yeah.
Depending on who you want to win the race. But like, usually that's what you're like sitting there waiting for. At least that's what we used to do.
Yeah.
When it was like, okay, there's at least 6 seconds between every car in the top six. So we need a safety car to bunch them back up. I don't think they're like, at least from the first two races we've seen, lead cars haven't had the same ability to pull away as they have in the past, at least not building like stupid leads. I'm talking like prime Lewis Hamilton or Max Verstappen up by 25 seconds in the lead. And it's like, okay, whatever. They're just like adding to the championship lead and they're probably not going to make a mistake.
Speaking of Lewis, his first podium.
Yeah, first podium.
Yeah, with Ferrari.
In a Ferrari uniform.
Which, honestly, and this might be a hot take, but I honestly think the new regulations were just needed because, like, it allows the people who haven't been competitive in a while to be competitive again. But it's also because McLaren is in a bit of a mess right now. Same with Red Bull. The fact that
McLaren's mess is that the car doesn't work.
Yeah. The fact that Oscar Piastri has not been able to take an actual Grand Prix race yet, and we're already two races in.
He hasn't taken
absurd.
A checker yet, has he? He hasn't finished?
No, he hasn't. No, he hasn't even started a race.
Oh.
He did the sprint, did qualifying, so that's like, you know, that's all of its own thing. But the proper Grand Prix, the car has not, the first Grand Prix he crashed, and then the second one, just like the car was not working, and same thing happened with Lando. So Oscar Piastri has not actually raced at a Grand Prix yet, which is crazy. And what's good is now they have, 2 weeks before the Japanese Grand Prix?
I believe so.
It's
10 days from now.
Yeah.
Because
okay, so
today is March 19th. And
yeah.
The,
and they've had a
Grand
few
Prix
days
is the
already.
29th.
Okay. Yeah. It's on my birthday, so I'm making everybody watch it that I know.
Nice.
Yeah. I'll pull up to your dorm.
Perfect. Perfect.
Japan's a really fun track. It kind of seems like we're moving towards looking ahead to that next track. But just to fully like recap, Australia, first race of the season. I thought it was a pretty fun watch.
Oh, so
like,
fun.
Overall.
I didn't want it to end.
Mercedes 1-2. Russell Antonelli, Charles Leclerc pulled in third, and then Lewis Hamilton in fourth, and Lando Norris came in fifth, so that was a solid result for McLaren, just like thinking about long-term championship, because now, I mean, it was a double retirement at China for McLaren, so
double DNS.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That's bad for the long term. Really, really bad, especially because the top four went Mercedes, Ferrari again. So they're falling even further behind Mercedes and Ferrari, who are clearly like the two front runners so far. Yeah. Red Bull's been shocking to me that they haven't been like nearly what they were last year.
Yeah, so the gap between, because I literally just looked at it, but there's a pretty like significant gap between Ferrari and Mercedes, and then I believe it's McLaren in third.
In the points right now?
In the points right now. Don't quote me on that, because I literally, that kind of just went.
And check on it.
Well, right now for drivers, not teams, it goes George Russell, Kimi Antonelli, Charles Leclerc, Lewis Hamilton, and then Oliver Bearman.
Which is also crazy that Haas is fifth.
They just keep racking up random points. Racing Bulls placed ahead of Red Bull.
They're tied. They're tied. They're tied in the constructors' standings.
Which is crazy.
Right now. Yeah, I mean, it's just I. That's why I'm also loving this season so far, because like all of the unexpected things are happening.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that I was probably expected was that like Cadillac was not going to be.
Yeah.
Doing that great.
Growing pains.
Yeah.
Always. And then also, I'm also pretty surprised that Audi actually even has 2 points right now.
That might just be because Aston Martin is terrible.
Yeah. Which, Aston Martin better get their, you know what,
together. They gotta get it together. They really do. Because I don't think they can really afford, like, a super downturn year.
No.
They might
they
wind up.
They had a downturn year last year.
Yeah. So, like another really one. Yeah. It's just not, it's a recipe for disaster.
Well, they're blaming it on the new principal, but, like, and then there's a lot of blame to go around. Aston Martin is kind of just, like, I'm gonna take a page out of my brother's book, because he likes to say this for like his teammates that like get benched or whatever. They're in the gulag. They are a mess. There's a lot of blame to go around. I think maybe the thing that cursed it, and not to bring politics into it, but Stroll in the Epstein files probably was probably the first thing that like completely cursed Aston Martin. Their Honda is blaming the principal. The principal is blaming Honda.
Big blame game.
We
can't be doing that.
Yeah.
You have Fernando Alonso and Lance Stroll risking nerve damage because of how much the car is shaking from the engine, which is crazy. I think there is significant blame to go around on each person. I think, you know, Honda, you have been in F1. It's not like it's your first F1 engine.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I get the regulations could screw things up, but also, like, you make engines.
Yeah.
You make engines.
We've all seen the ads. We've all seen how proud Honda is about their engines.
But, like,
this is what you do.
I'm sorry.
This is, like, my problem with, like, an NBA player not being able to throw on the free throw line.
Yeah.
Like, you get paid
to do this.
Honda gets paid gajillions of dollars
Honda
to make engines.
Aston Martin looks like it's driving Honda.
Yeah.
Honda's putting up Shaq numbers.
Yeah. This is, like, when I was in high school, I, like, this guy that had a Honda CRV would take laps in our school parking lot, and we would call it the school circuit. This is exactly what that is. And honestly, his time around that circuit, best 8 seconds. I feel like this is exactly what's happening.
Dude, okay. I've got
You think Red Bull could beat that CRV right now?
No.
No.
I think sugar-free Red Bull could. The other one, but I
is that, oh my gosh, that's what we have to call Racing Bulls that now.
Oh,
can we please call
That on a video earlier today.
Sugar-free Red Bull.
And I
that's
oh
so
my god
perfect.
Like I had to sit for 2 minutes and actually just take in how awesome. Good that is.
Oh man,
I just, every time I think of Red Bull now, I think of the Ford engine, and now every time I think of the Ford engine, I think of those like Ford F-150 commercials.
Built tough.
Yeah.
How it feels to drive a Red Bull. Anyway.
How it feels to drive a Red Bull, and it's like the replay of Isaac Hadjer stopping at the Australian Grand Prix.
Yeah. Those Red Bulls are, they're a little finicky at the moment.
And
Max Verstappen is learning the unfortunate side of Ford, which is fix or repair daily, I think is the way that it goes.
Yeah.
I'm sure Ford owners are more familiar with how
that
goes.
Ford,
couldn't be me.
I've got a
Mazda.
Ford Bronco.
Right, so you wouldn't
know.
Precision Japanese engineering.
I'm going to be a Ford advocate here. I have a Ford Bronco. Mm. There have been no problems with it. Knock on wood.
Like the new one?
I had it since 2023.
So yeah, like the new style.
Oh
the
yeah,
new
yeah.
Style.
It's
so
like
the
new
Bronco
line.
Sport.
Well,
I love the sound.
I don't
of it,
mean,
all that.
I don't mean to show you up, but I actually have a Jeep Renegade,
whoa.
And so
wow.
I think that maybe we have to get Jeep.
Do you participate with the whole Jeep thing? Like you see another Jeep?
Oh,
you
no, that's only for, like, the Wranglers.
Oh,
my Jeep,
the Wranglers only?
Yeah, my Jeep isn't invited.
imagine getting gate-kept within the Jeep community. Unreal.
My brother has a Wrangler, so I understand that. Which, there was a time where, like, I was driving my Bronco, and I passed another Bronco, and the guy tried to do a Jeep wave to me. I'm like, God, I'm like, dude, you're not
what?
In a Jeep Wrangler. I'm not in a Jeep Wrangler.
We're
like,
too good for this.
Like, we're not doing that. He does the wave. I'm like,
what are we doing here? So Jeep's just, like, totally copyrighted the wave? Like, you can't just wave to people in cars anymore?
Every time you do a wave and it's not in a Jeep, you owe them $20.
Oh, Jeep money, yeah.
We need to get Bobby C on this argument right here.
We should, before we get into, like, if we do want to do some, like, Japanese Grand Prix predictions, it's early. Predictions are hard in this sport. They're almost pointless, but...
Especially with how it is right now.
Yeah, but, I mean, just if we... Before we look at the Japanese Grand Prix, it does bear to mention that, I mean, you mentioned... politics earlier. We got more geopolitics affecting the F1 world. Grand Prix have been canceled.
I know,
no
racing in April
this season. There will be no races in April whatsoever. The next race after the two that were canceled is Miami from May 1st to 3rd. The Bahrain Grand Prix and the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix both off the calendar with, at this point, no plans for a replacement.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the benefit of having a long season with, like, more races than they had in the past, because if you do need to cancel races for any reason, you can just fall back onto the old scheduled distance, and that's fine. It's not like a quote-unquote shortened season in any way in that capacity. But
no racing in April.
I mean, there's no real reaction to have to this other than, that makes sense. They've canceled races for... things similar to this before. F1 hasn't raced in Russia,
like,
since the war in Ukraine started. So it's mostly a safety precaution.
Yeah.
And it's like a no-brainer safety precaution. Yes. Like, Bahrain has been under fire. Saudi Arabia has been under fire from Iran.
I think
so.
I would have been mad if they still had them.
Yeah.
Like, that's just...
It would have been, like, seriously dangerous. Yeah. It's a high-profile global event that an American team is now involved in.
Yeah.
It's like it's a wide-open target.
Yeah.
So,
and like it sucks just because they are two pretty awesome races.
I'm a big fan of Bahrain. Saudi Arabia is a bit new for me.
Okay. Understandable.
I can appreciate I like what they tried to do with the tight walls.
Yeah.
They almost make it like Monaco in that way, where, like, you've got tires almost scraping up against the wall on the racing line through a corner. I like that, but. It's hard to have character when you're, like, a brand new track that just seems a little bit manufactured.
Well,
it also has a weird shape. There's a lot working against Jeddah, but...
Yeah. The other thing was that I was worried that the Australian Grand Prix was going to get canceled because there were people doing testing in Bahrain, and then, like, Bahrain was under... Like, Pirelli was doing their testing with the tires, and then Bahrain was under fire... And they're like, we can't even get out of the country right now. How are we going to get these tires to Australia? Which I think they were able to make it work, thank God.
Yeah. Shout out DHL, because I'm pretty sure DHL is in charge of, like, most of the logistics work.
Oh, really?
You see their logo.
Really?
You see their logos all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's, like, an actual corporate partnership with F1, and they, like, do a lot of the shipping worldwide.
Wow.
Because that's a lot of equipment that they have to move from place to place every week. They set up a whole... city, basically, in pit lane, and then break it all down at the end of the week and ship it off somewhere else.
Right.
So somebody's got to be in charge of
that. Cars.
Yeah. Everything. Literally everything.
I think
at the end of a race weekend, that track is just empty.
That is true.
There's nothing there. But when a race is there,
it's a city.
It looks like it's there all the time. It looks permanent, but it's not.
Yeah, that's why I really wanted to go to the Montreal Grand Prix this summer, but the tickets are way too expensive.
Oh, I'm sure.
The track is very nice. I had a chance to go walk on it when I was when I was in Montreal over the summer. It's just a park during when the race isn't there. People can like ride their bikes, take their cars through portions of the track. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And it's literally just like a public park. And we walked like a length of the track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's also just a shame though, like, cause I started watching F1 last year, so I'm still pretty new. I didn't start watching until, I think my first race that I actually watched was Great Britain.
What brought you in? Was it
the
show?
F1 movie?
The movie.
Yeah, so I went.
Wow,
with
so
that, and that is why they made that movie.
They're building their media catalog so much.
Also,
I 100%. I'm not ashamed to say I am like a season one Drive to Survive. that's how they got me. It's like season one, season two, Drive to Survive on Netflix. That's how they brought me in.
Yeah,
they got you with the movie.
So
unreal.
Okay. Yeah. So well, first, okay. So there's a bunch of factors that drew me in. First, the director from Top Gun Maverick was doing it. Now, I love Top Gun Maverick. The original Top Gun's my favorite, but anyway. So that was first and foremost how they were doing the cameras like they did with the planes. They were doing it in the car. Second, the soundtrack is fire. A lot of house music. I love house music. The Tate McRae song was awesome. And then Brad Pitt was also in it. And I was
love
Brad Pitt.
Big Brad Pitt.
And just
fan.
Like, I saw the trailer. I'm like, all right. I'm like, it's the middle of the week. I'm like, I don't really got anything going on. My friend sort of knows racing. So I'm like, what if we just went? I watched it. I was like, wait, this is really cool. And like my friend Finn, shout out Finn. I was just like, hey, dude, like, I know you love F1. Like, I don't, you know, I never really understood the hype. So he sends me all of these videos of like the teams, all this stuff. And I'm like, so it's really not just any other ordinary sport. Like, there's a lot to it besides the actual sport part of it. I love how it's kind of like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Like, I need that. And then I watched the British Grand Prix, and, like, I kind of fell in love with
it
right away. Which also, shout out to the F1 movie for winning an Oscar over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
They won it for Best Sound, which I don't know what that really...
No, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Like, sound design of race cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like... racing and accidents, like the whole nine.
Yeah, and so, Lewis Hamilton was a producer on it. They're coming.
I haven't seen. I need to watch it. Actually,
you never watched it?
No, I never saw it.
It's really good.
It's really good. Hmm. I talked to my friend Valentina, who's like the biggest F1 nerd ever. Like, she will talk your ear off about it for like 2-3 hours. Like, we were on a Ram van going into the city, and like the Ram van driver knew F1, and her and the F1 or the driver, they were talking about it the entire time. So, you know, her and I talk about it a lot, but she was just like, yeah, like, there were a lot of things that just, like, weren't realistic, but I'm like, all right, that's a part of a movie, though, but, like,
yeah,
the basis of F1 is really cool, and I did not understand it, because I'm like, oh, you're just driving in circles.
Yeah. Did you watch Ford vs. Ferrari?
I watched it, I went home for Super Bowl weekend, and, like, my mom went out with friends, so it was just me and my dad, and, like, I was hearing, like, all the hype about it, and my dad's, like, trying to get into racing a little bit more, too, and he was just like, she's like, have you watched Ford vs. Ferrari yet? I'm like, no, so we watched it. I thought it was great.
Peak.
Like, it was really, really, really good.
So real. Yeah, my dad has always loved F1, so we've always been a Mercedes family.
Yeah,
which sucks now, but...
Well, it doesn't.
I have nostalgia for an era that I had absolutely nothing to do with, but I always, like, watching old clips.
Yeah.
Michael Schumacher drew me in immediately.
Yeah.
Just, like, and that could be very easy to say. There's no doubt it's easy to say. I mean, he was basically the GOAT of the sport up until Lewis Hamilton won his 8th championship to eclipse him. I was just such a huge Michael Schumacher fan, having not watched any of his races live because obviously, like, I wasn't conscious enough at the time.
Yeah.
But oh man, I mean, just watching how dominant he was and the way that he would drive that car, and just the look of the F2000 to 2004, such nice cars. But anyway, get back on track here. Mary Hannah, you got to run soon, so what are your thoughts heading into Japan? Can McLaren finally get their cars to the finish line for once? Are we looking at another Mercedes 1-2, probably? It's another, like, large track. A lot of straight lines, a lot of places where the Mercedes can really show off its power. But I mean, the Ferraris have been a little bit jumpy.
Yeah. So they
usually do pretty well at Japan as well. So what do you think?
I mean, call me biased, but I definitely think the favorite is still Mercedes. I think my lineup right now, I think it's going to go George Russell, Lewis Hamilton, and then Kimi Antonelli.
Okay. Whoa.
Okay.
Yeah. Lewis, too.
Yeah.
I was going to say Charles, too.
Yeah. I mean, that's usually how it goes, but I wouldn't be surprised if that progression happened.
Yeah.
Because now, after two races, the Ferrari teammates, they finished back-to-back in both, but in opposite orders.
Yeah.
So now I don't know if they're even on points in the Drivers' Championship, but they're definitely, very close to each other and effectively interchangeable if you're, a Ferrari strategist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the only reason why it's staggered right now is because of whoever got higher points in the sprint, but that's,
oh,
like
true,
it.
Yeah.
So, but honestly,
Historically, Leclerc has been the 1A driver that they are gonna.
He's their golden boy.
They're gonna give the nod to,
and as he should be.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm gonna say it really just depends on how Kimi does in qualifying and jumps off the line. But I'm definitely gonna say George wins, and then I'm gonna say possible Ferrari double podium.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I'm assuming Mercedes 4 after that.
Yeah, probably. I think
that makes sense.
That is just going to be the rivalry the whole time, the whole way through the season.
Yeah.
Unless McLaren or Red Bull makes a miraculous comeback with the cars. Again, anything can happen in 2 weeks. I don't know how many changes could really happen, but anything can really happen. So I think the only thing that I'm kind of just hoping for right now is that Aston Martin figures out their engine thing, just because it's just kind of annoying just to see them only race a few laps and then just have to retire. That's not their job. That's not Fernando Alonso's job. That's not Lance Stroll's job. It's for them to complete a race and be competitive.
And I mean, going into Australia, they were already saying that they weren't going to complete the race. They just didn't have their car is in maybe the worst shape, just mechanically.
Yeah.
With the vibrations and the car literally breaking apart because they it just shakes so much when they drive it. It's a nightmare. But I like that pick. I like two Ferraris in the podium because I am a Ferrari fan. Actually, in particular, huge Charles Leclerc fan.
Yeah, I love
because
him even though I'm a Mercedes fan.
If you've seen Drive to Survive, in that first season, Leclerc is a rookie with Alfa Romeo.
Mm-hmm.
And that in that first season, that's where I'm like, ooh, I like this kid.
Yeah.
And then come to find out, by the end of season one, start of season two, it's Ferrari is trying to bring him into the fold. And I was well, now this is interesting.
Yeah.
And so now, and he's been wearing scarlet ever since. And so I've just been a huge Charles Leclerc fan pretty much the whole time.
He's loving the Italian cars. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Do you see his, see the car, his getaway car from his wedding?
If that is the dream for me to have.
That car is so ridiculous.
A rich husband get married in Monaco. And drive
then live in Monaco after.
And they live in Monaco.
Got married in Monaco. No, it wasn't a destination wedding. They lived there.
Which is, that's crazy. That is crazy. But, having there be a sunset and you're driving in a convertible vintage Ferrari, I'm going to do it. Peak cinema. if that is the dream of dream weddings, they did it. They did it. And I'm very happy for them. The actual party, though, that they're going to have next year for the wedding is going to go crazy. So I can't wait for that. But
yeah, probably after the end of the season.
Yeah.
They gotta wait till the season's over.
Yeah. Do you want to know how I became a Mercedes fan, though?
How?
So my friend Finn sends me the videos to, learn about the teams and all of that stuff. And it wasn't even because, Mercedes was, pretty good and, Lewis Hamilton won 7. It wasn't even that. It was I liked their colors.
Yeah.
And I also was not allowed to pick McLaren because then Finn was like, I'm not going to be friends with you if you pick McLaren. And I'm like, all right. And then I was like, why? But now I've watched it. I'm like, all right, that's why. That's why people despise McLaren.
I picked Ferrari partially because I was already like familiar with Michael Schumacher, so I was like, let me just stick with that. But also, I figured that they were kind of like the Yankees of F1.
Okay, valid.
Because they won 4 back-to-back championships in the 2000, in like the at the turn of the millennium, 2000 to 2004. The Yankees were 98 to 2000. And then went to the World Series in 01. They didn't win, but that would have been overlapping four-peats. So there's a mirror there. Also, since Kimi Raikkonen, radio silence from the Ferraris. So it's kind of been the same situation for the Yankees. And then you look at last year where last year, the or 2 years ago, the Yankees go to the World Series.
Lose.
Last year in F1, Ferrari is in the running for the Drivers' Championship all the way down to the end of the season until Lando pulls off and then takes it. So I thought there were, like, there are more recent parallels which are supporting that theory, but like back in 2022, when I, or in 2020 also, when I picked Ferrari, I was like, these guys are just the Yankees of this sport. So it works for me.
Part of me also, I almost went Ferrari because I'm Italian, but I was just like, I don't know. I love Ferrari. I do root for them, but I just really like the vibe of Mercedes just better. Also, Toto Wolff is my spirit animal.
Toto Wolff is a really good team principal.
He's awesome.
Excellent team principal. You can't deny that. Like, for as good as Mercedes was, and for as much as Mercedes made non-Mercedes fans hate them because of how much they were winning, you really just kind of have to respect what Toto Wolff was able to sort of orchestrate. The whole team was really good that whole time, but I mean, Wolff was obviously like at the helm. But let me give my prediction for Japan so we can get out of here. This episode's running a little long, but why not?
Why not? We're
because
back.
Because it's the
so
first
back.
Beyond the Visor in I don't know how long, but we're really, really back. Glad to be back. Last year's Japanese Grand Prix, Max Verstappen, the winner.
Okay.
And that was followed up by Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri, 2-3. So the McLarens, I don't think, will be anywhere near where they were last year.
I just hope Oscar
at the start
gets
of the
finish
season,
his race.
So, yeah, I mean,
I don't care where he places. I just hope he even gets to race.
Baby steps from McLaren, just get to the finish line. It doesn't matter where in the order they are, just get there.
Right.
Leclerc pulled in fourth last year, then Russell and Antonelli 5-6, and Lewis Hamilton in seventh for Ferrari. The other point scorers were Hadjar, Albon, and Behrman. Behrman placed 10th at Japan last year,
Behrman's
and he's coming
fifth.
Off of a high high placement at China last time out, so that could be an interesting look. Maybe another sneaky top five for Behrman, but...
Yeah, he's right now also fifth in the World Championship.
Yeah. Totally unbiased opinion, I think Charles Leclerc can win the Japanese Grand Prix.
I
think the Ferraris run there pretty well, and I think now after two races, Ferrari should have a better idea of how to attack Mercedes. They are just so good. I have such a hard time seeing them not winning.
Yeah.
That I'm going to say like Leclerc won, then Antonelli and Russell, but Russell and Antonelli are going to be at Charles's heels for like the last 15 to 20 laps of the race. Might come down to the line.
Like, this is what I think is going to happen. I think like those first few laps is going to be like overtake crazy, you know, constantly battling out.
That sector one is really like kind of wavy. Yeah. I think that is like there might be a big one in there.
That's going to be where the entertainment
There might be a really big crash on lap one in this race. These cars are built for being a hero. On lap one. That's what they're constructed for.
Yeah, so I definitely think it's going to be like those first few laps are entertaining. Like, going to be... Then I think Charles might be in the middle, like first in the middle for a very, very long time. And then a couple pit stops might happen here and there. And then it's all just going to be crazy pandemonium like the last 15 laps.
I forget exactly, but I feel like I remember Japan being a two-stop usually.
Okay.
I don't think it's a one-stop race because it's a lot of laps.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a medium-sized track, if I'm remembering correctly. It's not like It's not like a short lap number because of a large race distance, but it's also not like an insane number.
Yeah.
Like something close to a 60. I'm pretty sure it falls in like the 55, maybe close to 60 range. But still, I think I'm pretty sure Japan is a two-stop. So plenty of strategy.
Make it very interesting.
Going to be involved in this race. You said Mercedes. I think Mary Hannah said Mercedes as well to win.
I think I said Charles Leclerc wins and then double podium.
It wasn't Ferrari double podium. I think it was Ferrari double podium with the Antonelli win.
Oh, yep. All right. So you're going to say...
I'm saying Charles wins with a Mercedes double podium.
Okay.
And
so
you
I
said
will
the
say
opposite.
George wins with a double Ferrari.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I like that.
And then Mary Hannah was like a sandwich.
Yeah.
I think she was like Mercedes, Ferrari, Mercedes.
All right, bet.
Yeah.
I like that.
Good variety of predictions. What a first show. We're so back.
So back.
The Japanese Grand Prix, for everyone's information, is going to be March 26th through 29th. The race on the 29th at 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yes, they are still over in the Eastern Hemisphere, so that's going to be an issue for all of us Western Hemisphere watchers.
Yep.
But you know what? Stay up for the race because Japan is a fun one. It's on Apple TV. Where all of the races are this season now because of that new partnership.
For that.
Yeah.
So anyway, but whatever.
I'm actually not sure if you need a subscription. I think it's just on Apple TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
I think they just air it, but like you just have to go through Apple TV. Thing you need an Apple. No, because there's an Apple TV app that you can get on like other devices now. I'm pretty sure there's a way to work around it.
Well,
not
100%
sure.
I'm subscribed to it anyway. So.
Either way, there's some good stuff on there, so a subscription might be worth it.
Mom and Dad, there's good shows, trust.
But yeah, that's going to wrap us up for our first episode in 2026, first episode in a while of Beyond the Visor. So happy to be back and happy to hopefully continue this podcast for the rest of the season. Hopefully we'll get into IndyCar, we'll get into NASCAR, we'll get into maybe even some like 24-hour.
Maybe.
Little 24-hour races.
Maybe.
Who knows? There's so much motorsport out there, and we can cover any and all of it. So we'll see, but thank you so much for tuning in to Beyond the Visor in our first week back. We had Mary Hannah Gallagher with us. We had Vanessa Kosuda, and I am Tucker Austin. Beyond the Visor is a production of WFUV Sports.